God bless you. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. This present truth is on the air. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father God, for being with us today. We invite you into this study in the Word of God. We trust that you will unveil and remove the veil that is over the hearts of so many, Lord, so that we can understand the Scriptures. Holy Spirit, unveil what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to know today out of the Scripture, and we give you all of the glory for what you expose to our hearts today. Thank you for helping us, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us today, and we want to admonish you to join us as we look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I want to just read the number one psalm in the New King James Version. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." This psalm speaks to us about the blessed man and those that are blessed of God. It's important to know that when God blesses someone, there's an expectation that God has as a result of the blessing that's been bestowed. We live in a day, brothers and sisters, where people believe that everybody that has resources or an abundance is blessed, and that's not the case. So the biblical blessing begins in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks. So the blessed man has a walk with God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we see about this particular life of this person that's blessed. Their walk is specific. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands, nor sits. So we see that the life of the blessed man begins with a walk, a stand, and a seat in the things of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly counsel, brothers and sisters, is not how a blessed person lives their life. We don't get counsel from financial advisors and all of this stuff. I was watching something that Anthony Robbins was talking about, and people still believe that his principles are spiritual. They're not. They're of this world. They're natural. They're not of God. We don't walk in the counsel of those who are giving us advice. No, no. We walk in the counsel of God. There's a different counsel that the blessed man doesn't concern himself with in his walk. In verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Amplified says, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes. There are certain individuals, brothers and sisters, and it doesn't matter if they're Warren Buffett or LeBron James. It doesn't matter. You don't listen to their counsel, because it's of the world. And if you're going to stay blessed, it's very important that you understand that there are certain counsels that you don't give ear to, the counsel of the ungodly. Then secondly, standing in the path of sinners. In other words, this person is in the path where sinners walk. So again, what he's saying is, brothers and sisters, that the blessed man, he doesn't counsel with ungodly people. He doesn't stand in the same path as those that are in sin. He doesn't. He's not a sinner anymore. And brothers and sisters, listen, you can listen to all these sayings that people say, we're all sinners saved by grace and all of that. I understand what they're saying, but after you give your life to Christ, you're no longer a sinner. If you're still a sinner and you're in sin, then you're not a believer. No, you have to come out of sin. Have you ever read Colossians 1, 13 that says, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness? If you've been delivered from that, then your lifestyle is no longer one of consistent, continual sinning. That's why you're not blessed. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't listen to any and everybody just because they're giving advice. Brothers and sisters, listen, we got all this stuff now. Everybody has a podcast. You got master class and all this stuff. Listen, the world can't master nothing spiritual. They have nothing to give you spiritual. You could listen on a master class from the Pope, and it's not going to impart the scripture, the life of God to you. It's not. It's not. You can't stand in the path of sinners and be blessed. So he's given three things before he describes the life of the blessed man. The first thing he says is don't walk in the counsel of those who are ungodly. Secondly, don't stand in the pathway. He says, don't be in the path where sinners walk. If sinners walk in accordance to a particular lifestyle, that's not your walk. Why, Pastor Mark? Because you're blessed. That's why. So then thirdly, he says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. That God's people can just turn scornful in their hearts. And that's when you have to break fellowship with them. You can't sit in the same seat as those that are scorners of God. I mean, the Amplified says, where the scornful and mockers gather. Now, there are some people that are just trying to disprove that Christ is real. They're mockers. They're scorners. And if you're going to stay blessed, you have to avoid them. Avoid propaganda. Avoid something that's going to make you famous and put you on, in front of the whole world. You got to be ready to speak to the world. You don't just have something to say automatically to the world. No. The blessed man lives this way. He doesn't walk in the counsel of ungodly people. He might be around those that are not godly, but he doesn't let their counsel affect him. Man of God, since when did God ever tell you to start listening to all these other people and then obey him? You don't find it in the word. All those that God used, God made, and he was speaking to them. So you don't counsel with ungodly people. You don't stand in the same path as those who are in sin. Hopefully you've come out of sin. Hopefully God delivered you from sin. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That's the issue. It's never been money with God. God's issue with man has never been that man hasn't had enough money. It's got nothing to do with money. We're making it that. We're making it that issue, but it's not. God's issue with man has always been righteousness. Living right before him, living holy before him. So notice the blessed man. There are things that he doesn't do before we get to what his delight is. What he doesn't do is stand in the counsel, walk in the counsel of ungodly people. What he doesn't do is stand in the path of sinners. What he doesn't do is sit in the seat of the mockers and the scornful. You know, when things don't go right, these mockers come forth and say, see, I told you God ain't real and, you know, all this stuff. You know, the mockers, you can't listen to them. They're ungodly. What are the mockers, what do they have to say that should affect us? Nothing. Now, in verse 3, we see the life of the blessed man. It begins with, he shall be like. The blessed man is like something that's referred to here in scripture. What is he like? The blessed man is like a tree. First, it points to his delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So he doesn't walk in ungodly counsel or stand in the pathway of sinners or sit with scornful people, the mockers. Why? Because he has a different heart. His delight is in the word of God. Hey, brothers and sisters, you know what? Blessed people love the word of God. Blessed people delight in the scripture. They're not trying to get their money on. You know, like everybody is, even people in ministry now trying to get their money on. People trying to stack their retirement and gonna die before they spend it all. What's the sense? It doesn't make sense. Because we've been falsely taught that God is only about blessing and resources. You hear ungodly people talking about blessing. Ooh, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Not if you ungodly, it ain't no blessing. No. So brothers and sisters, notice, there is a model to this man that's blessed. He loves scripture. He delights in the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then what does he do in the word of God? Day and night, he meditates in it. So you see that his focus is not on church in God's house or serving in God's house. His focus is on the word of God, and he loves it. He loves the scripture. That's why he's blessed. Now, I want to highlight a couple things here as to what this person is like, and then I want to take you to another verse in Luke chapter 6. But here we see his delight is in God's word. He meditates in the word of God day and night. Then in verse 3, he shall be like. Now, this is the result of him meditating in the scripture. What is he like, Pastor Mark? A tree. That's what he's like. Why? Because the word of God is his priority. You'll never be a tree if you don't love the scripture. A tree is a plant that has grown down for so many years before it grows up to be a giant redwood. The roots of that tree have secured that tree to where it can grow up now, like an oak. And the Bible talks about this in Isaiah 61, oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So I want you to see, brothers and sisters, that this blessed man that loves the word of God is like something that's stable. He's like a tree. He's not like a plant. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This life brings forth its fruit in its season. This life, when the leaves start to wither, it doesn't matter. He still is able to maintain his treeship, so to speak, as a tree. And whatever this person does, prospers. This is a blessed life. This is not a church life. It's a blessed life. This is not someone who just attends services or goes around jumping to place, conference to conference, looking for the word. No, this is a life. This person is rooted in truth. This person has leaves, which means they're connected to others. And whatever this person does, God blesses it. Now, there are others who are mentioned that are not like this blessed man. Can I just make you aware of them real quick? Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. So those that live an ungodly life are not blessed like this blessed man, who's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who whatever he touches, God blesses. Not ungodly people, no. The ungodly are not so. So the ungodly are nothing like those that are blessed. So once an ungodly person is telling you how to be blessed, you don't listen to them because they don't know what they're talking about. The ungodly are not so. This is the path of those that are blessed. The blessed man walks not. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. The blessed man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly are not like that. So what about them? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So the ungodly are chaff. Chaff is that useless part that the wind blows away off the wheat when it's thrown up into the threshing floor. So you throw the wheat up in the threshing floor and the wind, the tunnel wind, is blowing away the chaff because it's useless. You can't do nothing with it. He says ungodly people are like chaff to God. They're useless. They're like the sons of Belial. Useless. Useless. You can't use them for anything. There's a mixture of them, of good and bad, you know, worldly and spiritual. No, God doesn't use them. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Do you see this, brothers and sisters? This is a picture of how ungodly people are going to be judged. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Uh-oh, here's another group. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, brothers and sisters, a sinner is not someone who sins that calls himself a sinner. No, a sinner is not a sinner because he sins. He sins because he's a sinner. He can't help it. So let's not clump together the sinners and the saints. And we do that by saying we're all sinners saved by grace. That's a false religious statement. That if you are saved, you're no longer a sinner. You can't be a sinner and saved at the same time. No, that's false teaching. A sinner falls. A saint doesn't. Notice, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Notice verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Brothers and sisters, because the ungodly are chaff, they won't be able to stand before God in the judgment. So my brother, my sister, if you're playing around with sin and living like a sinner, you're going to be judged just like them. So why waste all the wonderful times you're having in church, but you're still living in sin like a sinner? That's how God's going to judge you. You say, Pastor Mark, you mean all the years I've been in church? And yeah, it doesn't matter because your life is still, you still live like a sinner. Do you sin every day? Is sin your daily routine? Then you're not a saint. You can't call yourself a saint. The word saint in the Greek means holy ones. Hagios is the word. It means holy ones. It's nothing like a sinner. No, they're not the same person. Sinners and saints are not the same, brothers and sisters. Can I ask, which are you? If you're a sinner, you're in sin. If you die, you're going to hell. You didn't make it. Doesn't matter how long you were in church. Your life is what God is looking at. Your heart is what God is looking at. You were like a terrible wife or a wicked husband. God's not, you're not going to heaven. No, you didn't make it. You didn't change. You never changed. All the years you were here on the earth, you stayed the same. A sinner, they can't change. So let's not clump the believers together with sinners and say, oh, we're all alike. No, we're not. The Bible gives a clear line of demarcation, righteous, unrighteous, clear, sinner, saint, clear. They're not the same. The natures are diametrically opposed to one another. It can't be. It just can't. So understand this. Now, brothers and sisters, how do we live out this to where we prove that we came out of sin and we're not playing with it anymore, and that we're living for God now, like saints, that whatever I put my hand to, I'm blessed because I'm like a tree that's been planted. Look with me in Luke chapter 6. I want to begin reading from verse 43, and I want to read to verse 49, and my time is gone, so I want to hurry through this. In Luke chapter 6, I'll start at verse 43 in the New King James Version. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. And what that's basically saying, brothers and sisters, how you live your life is who you really are. So you can't produce a certain fruit and you're saying you're a different kind of tree. No. What fruit you produce is the tree that produced it. So a good is pointing out a good tree and bad fruit and a bad tree and good fruit. Verse 44, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Do you see the distinction that's being made here? He's dealing with the nature. So in verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Do you see that? And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Do you see there's a clear difference here? There's the good man and the good treasure of his heart, and there's the evil man and the evil treasure of his. It's not the same. What they produce is different. The good man out of the good treasure produces good. An evil man out of his evil treasure produces evil. That's as simple as you can get it. Now, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So you will hear evil come out of the mouth of the evil fruit. And you will hear good come out of the mouth of the good man. A good man, an evil man. Now, how they build is what God is focusing on. Now, but why, verse 46, do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Now, I believe verse 46 is the intermediary transition as to whether or not that evil person produces evil fruit or the good person produces good. Verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? That there are people that declare Jesus' lordship, but they don't do what he says. Now, verse 47 on to the end is how these individuals are building their life, and I have to close. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So just see here that the Lord Jesus is breaking down those that he's highlighting. He's breaking down their lives. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, that's a certain kind of person. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth or sand without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, in closing, brothers and sisters, what's clear in this passage is that there are people who call Jesus Lord. Some build correctly and others build incorrectly. If you call him Lord and do not do the things that he says, you're building your house on the earth and not on a rock. He says, whoever comes to me and hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building his house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. You notice that he was building, he dug deep, he laid the foundation. Brothers and sisters, there are people who calling themselves Christians that have never done this. They've never built their life properly. They've never built their life on what the word of God says. Jesus said, whoever comes to me and hears these sayings of mine and thinks about doing them. No, he does them. The person that builds his house upon the sand is the one who hears and did nothing. So the common denominator is that they hear. One does something, the other does nothing. Can I ask today in closing, which are you? When you hear the word of God, do you respond to it in order to carry it out? You're like the person that built his house on the rock. Because when the floods came, the winds blew, and the floods and the storm, it was able to stand, but the other house collapsed. There's a proper way to prepare for the lordship of Jesus. And it's a good man out of the good treasure of his heart that builds properly. You have so many that come to God's house, don't even hear the word of God no more. They're doing them. They're living for themselves. They're currently building their house on something that's going to collapse. You see the testing elements? The flood arose. The wind blew vehemently against that house. And the one founded on the rock couldn't be shaken. But the one built on the earth was demolished. It fell immediately. It never had time to stand. Is that you, my brother, my sister? I want to pray today because too many lives have collapsed because there was never a solid foundation built. Thank God you went to a youth fellowship, but you never grew in your understanding in Christ. You became that evil-hearted person that had an evil treasure in his heart and brought forth that evil lifestyle. But I want to admonish you today, come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord and make sure that your life is founded properly on what he says here, built on a rock. He dug deep. He laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, when the wind blew, it could not shake it. It was founded upon the rock. Brothers and sisters, these last days that we're living, you're going to see more lives collapsing. And as shocked as you might be over who it was, as surprised as you might be that such and such, who was known for whatever, you know, his life collapsed. It wasn't due to a lack of church. It was due to a lack of Christ and not being properly built. Have you built your house on religion? It's going to collapse. Have you built your house on a belief that's not truth? It's going to collapse. So, Father, I want to pray right now in Jesus' name for every person that is listening or viewing that has not built their house correctly. It's not established on the rock, Lord, and we know when it's not established on the rock. We've become religious people over time, and we've been in church so long, we can't even recognize the true Jesus anymore. We can't even hear truth anymore. We can't even identify something that's fresh from God. Lord, we've built our houses on sand and earth, and all we're seeing are lives collapse one after the next. Building projects that begin on the beach. Father, will you help us? Collapse is coming to those lives because they weren't built upon the rock. Lives that never dug deep. Lives that never had that good treasure in their heart to where they laid a foundation. They dug deep to lay it and founded it upon the rock. Lord, some people are in such a hurry, they'll build anywhere on anything. So Christ is not the proper foundation. Will you help us today build on the right thing? Bring us back to the proper building inspectors so that they can inspect the structure and advise us accordingly. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you help every listener on today that we would build properly, that we would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We will bring forth our fruit in our season. Our leaves won't even wither. And whatsoever we do, Lord, shall prosper. Thank you for helping us. Give us insight out of these passages and push us into the very divine plan and purpose that you have for us. Thank you, Father God, for helping us today. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for those of you that have joined us today, and we want to admonish you to join us next week for another episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. We're signing off, but we'll see you next time. God bless you.